Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
How to buy a new car with an app.
How to plot your mind with a map.
And Pinball Wizard meets Picasso.
That doesn't lie. On iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by FrameBridge, the fast, easy, and affordable way to frame the things you love. Visit FrameBridge.com and use the promo code iOS for 15% off your first order. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/iOS today.
It's iOS Today.
Hi, everybody. I was just dancing along the music. Leo Laporte on this side.
Megan Maroney on this side.
And this is the show where we debate politics in a friendly but combative form. No, that's not this show. This is where we talk about iOS.
Yes. iPhone. Apple Watches.
Apple Watch.
iPad.
And
Apple TVs.
It's all got iOS on it. Mm-hmm. And soon it's all going to have... There'll be a new member of the little family.
There will be a new member of the family.
So excited. Did you get your invitation?
No. I did not. Either. As I tweeted this morning, it's always a bridesmaid, never a bride situation. I see all of the people getting their invitations and posting them on Twitter. Not us.
Here's
sadly.
The good news. That means you can join me at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, September 7th, as we live stream our coverage of the Apple We think iPhone 7 announcement. Mm-hmm. That should be exciting.
And you're invited, too. You are invited, and you are all invited to our event. We didn't send out invitations, but you are. Tickets at twit.tv. Come sit in our studio audience.
Oh, yeah, you could do that. We do. Yeah. You know, it's funny. There's live events that we cover. We often do get a studio audience mm-hmm. that wants to kind of celebrate and share the event. They can't go to the big event at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, but they can come to our little mini event mm-hmm. here at the brand new Eastside Studios.
So you think they're going to announce an Apple Car at the event?
No.
I don't think so either.
I'm really wondering if there ever will be an Apple Car. I think that that was one of those things where clearly Apple put money into it and has a big team of engineers, maybe 1,000 people, and we even know who is leading it and so forth. Did a lot of hiring. I think that Apple has so much money, they can try things like that, and I just don't think that one's going to happen. However, you sure can use an iPhone or an iPad to buy a car, can't you?
You can. So I have a new car. It's new to me. And you have a relatively new car.
I have a brand new car, yeah. Both of us wanted to go electric.
Yes, I did want to go to electric. I mean, I'm so used to getting all the newfangled things, like an old car wasn't going to do it for me.
Right.
But then I never found the electric car that I wanted. So I went hybrid.
You're not alone on that. Hybrid is a good choice because it's fuel economy, of course, mm-hmm. is great. And it's kind of like electric, except you have a gas engine, so you have unlimited range.
Mm-hmm.
So it solves the biggest thing that people worry about with electric cars, which is you're going to run out of juice. Because what do you do if you run out of electricity? You pull over to the side of the road. Is a truck with a big battery going to come? No, you have mm-hmm. to figure out what to do next.
I also wanted a hydrogen-powered car, but they have the one. There's the one that's Toyota Mirai, I think is what it's called.
But there's nowhere to get hydrogen.
No, you could drive it for a little while, and then it would run out of hydrogen, and then you'd have to buy a new car.
So I think you decided to try these car buying apps.
I did. Well, I went to a dealership. I did not. I had the pretty normal experience you have at a dealership, which is they're trying to convince you. They're bringing, let me go talk to my manager, sit and wait all day.
They still do that.
They still do that. And it's worse because some of them are like, I don't like that hard sell. Like, I'm not the kind to do the hard
but
sell.
But let me go and talk to my manager.
Yeah, and then they do the hard sell.
You know what? I'm not going to do the hard sell. I think I could get you a great deal. Right. Let me talk to my manager. And then they go. They have a cup of coffee. They eat a candy bar.
They laugh at you.
And then they come back and say, well, I tried as hard as I could.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I was at the dealer and they even said, you know, we can't negotiate over the phone. You have to come in. Because I was like, I have to go home and think about it. They were like, you have to come back in. You can't negotiate over email. I can't negotiate over the phone.
It's worse, I think, for women too, isn't it?
Well, I was dealing with a woman. One of the car salespeople was a woman. So I don't know if it's worse. I don't know.
I feel like they sometimes assume that a woman, you know, in my family, Lisa knows so much more about cars that she does all the negotiating. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times car salesmen, anyway, assume that a woman can be hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of women do get browbeaten in that process.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry because my wife is tough.
Mm-hmm. She is.
So I don't have to, I don't ever even deal with that. I just let Lisa handle it.
She is a negotiator. Okay, so I went and I tweeted about, you know, looking for a new car. And suddenly I started to get some recommendations from different people. And one of them was an app called Beepi. That's B-E-E-P-I.
Beepi.
Beep or Beepi.
Beepi. No, Beepi. I think Beepi.
Beepi.
It sounds like it might be Scandinavian.
Maybe. Yeah. So, you know, as you can see, if you're watching, it had a great write-up in the New York Times and Forbes, Business Insider. This wasn't, you know, a fly-by-night service. What they do is they find a car for you. If you're going to buy a car, they find it for you. They deliver it to your house.
Whoa.
With a big bow on it.
Oh, that's a nice little touch.
And then you get to drive it around for 10 days to see if you like it.
Oh.
And then if you don't, they come back and pick it up, like the Casper mattress sort of
style.
Wow,
that couldn't be any better. That's the best way to buy a car.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with it. And so the way they work, they have no overhead, right? So that they're saving money. They're going to, they also sell cars for you. And they will give you more money than you would get from a dealer if you were trading in your car.
Okay.
But probably less money than if you were going to sell it on Craigslist.
Yeah, we always do the Blue Book. Look at the Blue Book. Lisa's theory is you go below Blue Book by a few thousand dollars. That makes it attractive. And then she always does it on Craigslist. And they move fast. She sold several cars that way. And so I'm always impressed. But that's a lot of work. And you get calls from strangers. Mm-hmm. And I understand why you wouldn't want to do that. Maybe if you're going to lose a few thousand bucks, at least, you know, you don't have to put up with the hardship. Where do they get the new cars from?
From people. No, it's just
it's used always
cars.
Used.
It's always used cars. Yeah.
So I get it. So this is a cycle of people trading in or selling their cars and Beepi then selling it on to you or somebody else.
Right. So if you want to sell your car, they'll buy it from you if it doesn't sell for 30 days.
Was it a really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good range of selection, range of vehicles?
Pretty much, except for they didn't have what I wanted. Exactly.
Because wanted a hybrid.
I wanted a 2013 Prius. And I wanted like the higher, like I wanted the leather seats. I wanted the backup camera. I wanted the more technology in there. And they had more of the lower trim.
They didn't have as many choices because, of course, they can only sell what people are selling to them. That makes sense. And a dealer can always order any line, any packages you want. Mm-hmm. It may take a while. You have to wait for it. But you can always get what you want. And I told you this when you went in the market, that you should never buy a new car.
Yeah.
Because the car loses so much value the minute you drive it off the lot. Mm-hmm. The best deal is a late model, low mileage used car because a lot of the depreciation has already happened, but you still get a relatively new and reliable vehicle. And that's what you did.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So,
did you get it from a dealer?
I did get it from a dealer. Basically, I'm going to show you some of the services that I did all my research in.
You tried all
these. I did the whole thing where you go into the local bookstore and then you buy it on Amazon.
Did Beepi bring you a car? Did you at least try that?
No, I did not try that service. No, but they offered. These are new businesses that are really, they're getting a lot of funding.
Right.
They're the next startup because nobody likes to go to the dealership.
Anything to make this a better experience.
So as soon as I tweeted about it, they were, you know, all of their representatives emailed me and said, what can we do to help? They were like, customer service was really great. They do a 240-point, two-hour inspection on the car, too. That's the other thing that they do. And it shows where all, because, you know, you want to see a car. Does it have little dents? Does it have little dimples? They kind of show you, and you can look at all the pictures and do walkthroughs.
I guess you could be buying a car from Wisconsin that are they nationwide?
They are. And what I noticed was one of the cars I looked like had no shipping. It was free shipping. So my guess is that must have been close by.
Oh, I see. So you do pay a slight fee for driving it out to you.
Yeah. So it was like $400, $500. Okay. It was still lower than what the dealership was charging for these same. So
there's Beepi, B-E-E-P-I. It's an app as well as a website.
Right. And it was started by Ale Resney, who bought a car from a dealer and then immediately the engine caught on fire. And then he had to deal with the dealer who was like, oh, well,
you bought it. You got it.
So definitely if you're in the market for a car, check it out. Yeah. That's
nice.
Okay. Who doesn't want a car delivered with a bow on it?
The dealership model is such a terrible model.
It really is.
Yeah. And really, nobody likes the experience.
No.
Remember Saturn? That was the whole theory behind General Motors. The Saturn line was fixed price, no negotiation. You just come in, that's what it costs. Mm-hmm. And I don't notice them doing all that well.
Well,
they do well in the fleet market.
Some dealerships do that. My parents just bought a Lexus, and they did, was the price. They walked in, they walked out, no haggling.
Yeah, but then you feel like, well, yeah, because I'm paying full list. Right? I'm not getting a deal at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to haggle if you want to pay full.
I can do that in any dealership. What's that price? Here, let me write you a check. That's a great experience.
Well, so the key to this was that when I was in the dealership, she said, you can't, we won't negotiate unless you come in. But then when I was doing this research for a full week and I walked away from it, then she was willing to email me and say, oh, yeah, what was the price you wanted? And I said, here's the price I wanted. I'm not coming back in until you give me this price, which is a lot easier to do on email.
And that's a good pointer, which is use these tools, even if you don't buy something from them, use these tools to help you negotiate. You at least understand what the cost of the car should be.
Mm-hmm. So another great service that I use was called Car Gurus. They have an app and a website. It's pretty, the app doesn't, it's just the mobile version of their website. Yeah. It's not much different. But what they do, their business model is that they will show you all of the dealerships and the cars in your particular area down to the zip code. So like if you go to, another website, if you go to the Blue Book, and you say, well, this 2013 Prius should cost this much, but it's going to vary by where you are, so it might cost more in San Francisco. It might cost less in Petaluma, that sort of thing. So what they do is they tell you whether you're getting a good deal from that dealership or not. So the listings are, they're not paid for at all at Car Gurus. I talked to Brian who works at Car Gurus and he said, you don't pay for, that's not their business model. They're not paying, they're not putting a dealership up higher and saying it's a great deal because someone at that dealership paid for it. What they're doing is just really saying, like, this is a good deal, this is a fair deal, this is a bad deal. And then the way they make their money is if you look and you've looked at a 2013 Prius and you want to buy it, and then it's like, do you want to be connected to a dealer? And then you enter your information, and then that's
so this lead. Is just a lead generator for dealers, basically.
That's what they will do. That's how they make their money.
Yeah.
I used it and I saw that what I should be paying, and then I used that research and went to the dealer.
Again, very useful.
But
very
know
valuable.
That if you're going to put your information in there, they're going to sell it. That's the way they work.
They sell like your phone. Did you get calls and emails?
I didn't put my information into Car Gurus.
Right, because you didn't want that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And the third site that I used for research, but that you could use to actually buy a car, is called Vroom.
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 And they are similar to BP, same thing. You look online, you find the exact car that you want, and then they'll let you drive it for 7 days. And then if you don't like it, they'll come back and pick it up. All that is free. They do free shipping and free returns. So Brian is looking at this. He wants to get a 2001 Honda S2000 convertible for $20,000.
Nice.
And I don't know if they deliver it with a bow. So if the bow is what you're looking for, you should probably stick to BP. But
my dealer, when we got Lisa's car, the Audi dealer, we went on Christmas. And all the cars had bows. We didn't get to keep it, though.
Oh, you didn't get to keep the bow.
No.
I think with BP, you get to keep the bow. But I don't know. I didn't check that out.
I bet they take the bow with them. You know, bows can add up.
It's true. Bows can.
Yeah.
Here's the other interesting thing that Vroom is doing, which is more like a marketing tool, but they'll let you do a virtual reality test drive.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So you actually have to go to the place. They've done some, I think, in Arizona and Texas. You go, and then you can test drive any car that's anywhere in the United States and sort of feel what it's like. But, I read some of their reviews of that, and you can't really feel how it handles. You don't know if there are bumps in the road, which is what you want to feel when you're test driving a car. But if you are near, look that up if you want a VR test drive. A car. So Vroom, they do a little bit, only a 126 point inspection as opposed to the bigger one for BP. But they want to make buying a car as easy as ordering a pizza.
But a little more expensive. Just a little,
Well, depending on what you have on that pizza. Yeah. The car probably does cost a little bit more.
Yeah.
So these are the sites that I use. And like I said, I bought it the old fashioned way, but I armed myself with research, and don't believe a dealer when they say that, you know, they can't negotiate, because they always can.
Yeah. Chat room's mentioning TrueCar.com. Not an app, but a website. A lot of people use it. And if you're a USAA member, as I am, TrueCar is a great place to buy a car, especially if you're financing it through USAA, because they negotiate an additional reduction. And F and Dunn, Jason Clanthus says Cars.com has a great app, too. I think it's good to think of these as an adjunct to your in-person shopping experience. You're going to get a good idea of what the range of prices are. And both TrueCar and Cars.com have new and used cars. But you make an interesting point that limited selection often means you're going to end up with a particular dealer because they happen to have that thing, that car that you're looking for, the 2013 with the leather seats and all the things you need.
And when it comes right down to it, I don't know that I was ready to just wait for... You have to wait, too. Like, that was the one complaint of anyone who bought cars on Vroom or BP was that, well, then you make the purchase and they have to do all the paperwork. And then, you know, some people weren't contacted for 7 days. And, you know, once you've, like, pulled the trigger and paid the money, you want to drive that car away from the dealer.
Now, what I'm curious about, now that you've bought your new Prius, is the Prius app.
I haven't downloaded the Prius app. What do you do with the Prius app?
I thought there was one. I could show you the Tesla app. Isn't there a Prius? I think there is a Prius
app. Well, I have the Entune app, which is the CarPlay type thing.
This is kind of cool. I think I've showed you this before.
Yes.
So my car is out in the parking lot, but it's always online. It has LTE built into it, which means you can launch the app on your iPhone or your iPad, and you can see a few things about your car, which is kind of handy. First of all, the biggest one, if you're like me and you often leave your car in places and forget where you left it, this is less of a problem in our new studio. I always park right out front. But if that should happen, this will give you a map of where your car is. And one of the things I love about this, it's taken a while to load, is even if somebody's driving it, it will show you where the car is. So if a family member has borrowed your vehicle, you can fire up the map.
A coworker,
and you can see where it is. It's taken a while to load. This is the negative on the Tesla app. It does sometimes, probably my car was sleeping. You know, it likes to sleep in between jobs, and it's taking a while to wake the car up and getting it online. So it's going to spin for a little bit. Usually it's a little faster than this. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody stole the car and disconnected.
Well, I just downloaded the Prius app because said to do that.
No, but you got to connect it to your car. Is it connected to your car? Is that your car?
My car is that color. That's the brand new
Maybe
Prius.
Maybe it is. Maybe it knows your car.
It knows I like the Blizzard Pearl.
knows your color.
I think this is just trying to sell me a brand new Prius.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing.
It's a virtual reality experience.
I can tour around. But the Entune...
As cars get more sophisticated and the car computer gets more sophisticated, you're going to see more apps. For instance, I can use the Tesla app to summon the car. If it's in the garage, I can say, come to me, and it will come to me. I can see right now, I can see how much battery life is left. And you can even control the charging on the battery life. There's my battery life left. And I can set a charge limit. It's not charging right now. But if it were in the garage, I would see whether it was charging, whether it was done. When you go to a supercharger, which is the Tesla official Tesla chargers, you even get a notification. So you plug it in. The idea being you plug it into the supercharger, go shopping, go to dinner, and you'll get notifications. Started charging. Charging done. 80% done. Done. So you kind of know. I can also unlock the car from here. I can beep my horn. People are wondering right now why that Tesla is beeping in the parking lot. Flash the lights. That must drive people really nuts. And as I said, here's a map. Our blue dot, that's us, you and me. The red, that's the automobile. It's exactly the parking slot it's in. Isn't that kind of cool?
That's impressive. You can't see like my car parked next to it. Or
no, I wish I could. I wish I could. But I think this is a fairly simple app. We're going to see much more interesting uses of the apps. The one thing that might be useful if you live in a cold or hot climate, you can turn on the climate control. So you can see, first of all, what the temperature of the car is. Now, it's only 72, so I wouldn't bother at this point. But I've seen, you know, if it's sitting in the sun, 105 degrees. So you can actually turn on the AC ahead of time. It'll only do it for, I can't remember, 20 minutes, something like that. But enough to cool it or heat it before you get in the car. And for people who live in cold climates, that's very nice. But more than just nice, an electric car really doesn't run very well at super low temperature. Oh, the interior temperature is hot. Let's turn on the cooling. See, it's 116 degrees in the sun. That's not good for the car.
No.
So I'm gonna let the AC turn on there. Down. And you can even see the little arrows as it blows cool air on my seat. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I bet you your Tesla can do stuff like that.
You mean my Prius or someone else's Tesla?
Your Tesla. When are you getting... No, your Prius will never do that. Sorry.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if more and more vehicles do this kind of
thing. No, my Prius won't do that, but my kids will still get to go to college, thank goodness.
No, mine won't. That's... hey, I had to buy the car. I couldn't resist.
When I was searching for a car, for a while I thought, I'm just going to buy any car that has CarPlay because I'm an Apple girl.
How did that go?
Not so good. Well, Prius, Toyota does not deal with
even
CarPlay.
The 2016 Prius doesn't have CarPlay?
No.
Or Android Auto?
No, they have this Entune system, which is garbage. It's sort of garbage. I mean, I don't want to be too critical, but it's garbage. here it is. Here's the Entune. You're supposed to be able to connect through Bluetooth, which is fine. I connect my phone through Bluetooth. It was super easy. I can, you know, listen to podcasts. I can listen to music. But I just am controlling it with my phone. I'm not controlling it by the screen. So Entune promises all these apps. Bing, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Facebook Places.
It's kind of like CarPlay.
A little bit. But you have to connect it you have to hard connect it. You have to wire connect it. It doesn't work through Bluetooth.
Oh.
And then only periodically, this is a 2013 car, so maybe a brand new car. But I looked around and a lot of people with the Entune systems are complaining about it. No, there was no one saying like, I just love the Entune system. It's so wonderful.
Car manufacturers are not necessarily software adept, right? The end user experience, you'd think they're big, they'd have the money to design these things, but often they don't do a very good job in software. Ford did a great job with Ford Sync. Remember how much I love my Ford Sync in my Mustang? But then they quote, upgraded it with my Ford Touch, and everybody hated it. In fact, Ford even acknowledged, yeah, we kind of blew it. The user interface was terrible, and they did my Ford Touch 2. And now I think most of the big automakers are at least paying lip service to the idea that, well, we'll let Google or Apple do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's going to be next year. Maybe it won't be 2016.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, so Honda is big into CarPlay. Josh has...
his
Honda.
Works.
Yeah, yeah, his works great. He showed it to me because I was kind of thinking I wanted the Civic because of CarPlay. And it was fine. You know, he could respond to text messages, that sort of thing. I mean, it's definitely built so that you're not texting and driving. Like, it's very safe.
Yeah.
I did like it, but it wasn't exactly what I'd imagined, which was my iPhone or my iPad screen.
It's not. There's good reason for that, because those are not designed for the I'm driving, I need to have big icons, simple functionality. So that's really why Android Auto and CarPlay exist, because it's unsafe to just put your iPhone display on a screen there like that.
I wanted to play Candy Crush while I was driving.
No, you can't.
What's wrong with that?
You may not. You may not do it.
So it's definitely
early days.
It is early days, and it's fine to connect as long as I can listen to podcasts. I'm fine, and it does have Siri on my steering wheel. I can press, but it doesn't work. It actually works a little bit less.
It's kind of interesting because the Tesla not only doesn't have an AM radio. That's because it was an electric car, and the interference would be bad. But it doesn't have a headphone, you know, an aux jack. Mm. It doesn't even really have a way to connect an iPod. Like, if you have an iPod in my old car, I could connect the iPod and, you know, control it from the screen. Can't do that. It's really it's Bluetooth. Bluetooth and internet. And so it has Slacker and TuneIn. So that's, I guess, the AM radio functionality is all over the internet. If you're out of the internet area, I don't know what you do. And Bluetooth from your phone. And that's it. So I feel like there was a lot of promise from the auto industry about, you know, well, we understand entertainment systems is going to be very important. And maybe also they're afraid of liability issues if they make your car too fun. Maybe they were waiting till the car's driving itself before we make it too fun.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that when it comes down to it, that's what I really want. A car that drives itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a fun car that I don't have to drive.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's going to be a while for us out in Petaluma. I don't think, you know, we're not going to own our own self-driving cars.
Because we're in Petaluma?
Well, I think that they're going to start in the big cities.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And then
Singapore's now got a fleet of self-driving taxis.
Yeah.
So there's still a guy sitting in the front, though, just in case.
Right. Yeah, so self-driving cars are in the future, but that's what I want. I hope this is the last car that I have to buy.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
It would be so nice. I have to say, I commend you for getting a hybrid. I'm really thrilled on electric. And even Lisa, who said, well, I'm not giving up my Audi, now will always take the electric if she can, because you feel better about driving if you're not using all that gas.
Right. And this is not true in California, but in some places, having an electric car isn't necessarily better, depending on the way they produce energy with coal. Sometimes worse for the environment.
That's why I got solar panels.
Right.
See, I know where my electricity is coming from. It's 11 p.m. Do you know where your electricity is? I do.
Yes.
It's on my roof.
The last car, there's a million car apps to talk about, but the last one is Waze Carpool just started, and Tony Wang signed up for it.
This is Waze, the Google-owned mapping program that lets you crowdsource traffic issues, hazards, police, red light cameras, that kind of thing. They're now doing a carpool?
Right. So Tony,
is it a separate app?
That's a good question.
Or is it in Waze?
I don't know that. Oh. That I should have done a little more.
Waze Rider. Waze. Oh, I get it. Get it? Waze Rider? Oh.
So he signed up. He had to link all his social media and give him all his personal information and take a picture of his car. And now if you want to drive into Petaluma with Tony Wang, you can.
Oh, that's great.
He's a really good driver.
Has he found carpoolers to go with?
No, not yet. So it could be
It's new. It's brand new.
He didn't tell me to tell people that, but so hopefully it's okay that I told people. But he's a great conversationalist. And
No, he's not. but he's what you want, which is somebody who'll just shut up and drive.
Yeah, when I say he's a great conversationalist, what I mean is he just listens to me when I talk and talk and talk and talk and just nods. And
you and I used to carpool. We forgot to Tech TV.
Yeah, we listened to Audible. That's where I heard about Audible.
And we listened to audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did we listen to? Do you remember?
The Glass Castle by Julia Glass. The Glass something. It was either a book by Julia Glass or it was The Glass Castle.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And did we finish it?
I think so. Wow. But then sometimes we would turn it off and just complain about Tech TV and how you wanted to start your own thing because it would be perfect.
Someday. You see that right there? That gut field right there? Someday I'll have a studio right there. And I did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And lucky for you, we're supported by advertising, like the nice people at Blue Apron.
Blue Apron is so awesome. Blue Apron is a company that has a very nice, I think, the mission. I'm going to read you the mission statement because I think you'll understand what they're up to. It's Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs, that's you. When you get home and your Blue Apron box is sitting on your doorstep and you set the day and you decide what meals are in there, it's such a good feeling. Because, I mean, who wants to, at the end of the day, long, hard day, you worked hard, it's 5 o'clock, you go home, the last thing you want to do is plan a meal, shop for a meal, and cook a meal. So you end up at fast food or you end up at, the local Denny's or IHOP, and that's not good for you. Blue Apron Day is great because you get home and there's a refrigerated box and it's almost like Christmas. Inside, three separate meals, either three meals for a couple or three meals for a family. Every ingredient you need to make those meals, and I mean exactly proportion. So if it needs one clove of garlic, you get one clove of garlic. We open the box. I love doing this. And then what I like to do, because each one also has the recipe card, and on the recipe card is pictures of all the ingredients. So I love to separate it out into three, and then I put them in little bags in my refrigerator, and then I get home, and I open it up the bag, and I'm going to make something amazing. It takes about 40 minutes. These are very healthful meals. They're balanced, nutritious meals. And I think sometimes people resist Blue Apron because they go, oh, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. That's too convenient. And no, it's less expensive. Grocery stores are 60% more expensive than Blue Apron because they don't have all the overhead of a grocery store. They deliver right to you. Delivery available in 99% of the continental United States. There's no weekly commitment. You get deliveries when you want them. The way you trigger delivery, you go to blueapron.com. You look at the menu for that week, and the menu's always different. Recipes never repeat. You pick, you know, your three meals. Paprika, shrimp, and cheddar grits. Wait a minute. Oh, that looks so good. And then the side dishes are unusual, too, you know? Really looks good. So then, and then you get the recipe card, so it tells you exactly what you need to do. What is it? It's corn?
Is it corn? They told you how to take garlic? The corn off the cob.
Isn't that cool? They've got videos on the site, too. Now, we're going to get you your first three meals free at blueapron.com/twit. So this is a really good way to try to sign up for Blue Apron. blueapron.com/twit. All the standards for the food is incredible. Every, you know, you open up, it's never frozen. Meat and fish, fowl, never frozen. They have vegetarian meal plans, too. Don't worry. And all the produce is from local farms, 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. The seafood is sourced sustainably. The beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free range. The pork is raised naturally. It's like what you would shop for. And you're going to use ingredients you never have tried before. Research shows Blue Apron families cook together nearly three times as often. Spiced pork burgers with goat cheese and cucumber corn salad. Here's a nice vegetarian one. This is one I would do. Summer vegetable and quinoa bowl with fairy tale eggplants, shishito peppers, and corn. Chicken tinga tacos with summer squash and tomato salsa. This is so fun. And by the way, once you cook the recipe, you really know how to do it. Hoisin beef and vegetable stir fry. I really learned how to stir fry from Blue Apron. And the key, like the key spices and ingredients to put in there so that your stir fry just pops. It tastes so, so good. blueapron.com/twit. Your first three meals free.
I am really looking forward to, we only have one more show where we can guess what's going to be in the next iPhone.
This is it.
This Wednesday, is it. A week from Wednesday. So next Wednesday. Monday, we'll do some more guessing.
We know pretty much, I think. Right?
I'm hoping they come out with just, I don't know, maybe they'll come out different colors.
Here are the question marks.
Different colors.
What colors?
What colors? Like blue.
What the name will be. Mm-hmm. Probably iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, but some people are saying, no, they'll save that for the anniversary edition next year in 2017. And then...
Why would they call it next year iPhone 7?
This year it'd be like the iPhone 6 SE. Some people say that. People make up stuff.
Yeah.
No one knows because Apple doesn't tell you.
Right.
We can tell some things with some certainty because the manufacturers leak, mm-hmm. right, in China and so forth. It's hard to keep all those workers quiet. So pictures leak out. We've seen a unibody design that looks pretty much identical to the existing iPhones, except no headphone jack. And two lenses for the camera. And the thinking, and we've seen this before, the thinking is that black and white, one lens will be black and white, one will be color. It'll help you with digital zoom. It'll help improve the quality of your photos. And all of that's because software can take the additional information from that secondary lens and make your picture look better. But we don't know, you know, we've seen iOS 10. In fact, I'm using it on my iPhone and my iPad now. What we don't really know is, battery capacity, what the battery life's going to be, how fast it's going to be. It's going to have the new A10 chip, we're sure. But what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Other capabilities that might not be obvious just from the case design, things like that.
The other thing that we've seen is that antenna across the back not being there anymore, these right. lines.
Right.
So
there's even a thought that you might be able to use, Jason Snell said this on Twit on Sunday, you might be able to use your existing iPhone 6S or 6S Plus case with the new iPhone. It'll be that little changed.
Yeah. Well, there was, what did I see? I did see some iPhone 7 cases from Spigen.
Spigen's a good company. There. I get their stuff. They say iPhone 7 and 7 Plus mm-hmm. collection. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It's that.
Do they say we're right. guessing?
It just says Spigen's new case collection delivers iPhone's original contour and illustrates a thoughtful design for functionality that matters.
They are able to get those out very quickly because mostly their cases are just formed plastic, molded plastic. They're not complicated. Mm-hmm. So I often buy Spigen cases because they're among the first to come out.
It's Spigen?
Spigen?
I don't know.
Spigen? Mm-hmm. Jif or Jif? Don't know. Let's start the new Spigen battle.
Yeah, so...
Or it could be Spigen. Or Spigen.
It's about August 29th when I get tired of thinking about the rumors, and I just want to see it
around. I'm ready. I think brace yourself for not a big deal. Now, what might be a big deal is a new watch, and I'm pretty sure that if they're going to announce a new watch, it'll be at this event. So watch for that, so to speak, the Watch 2. Another question mark no one knows, the only surprise is, will the new MacBook Pros be announced at this event? Will there be an event in October? Or, as I heard yesterday, maybe they won't be out until next year. So that actually, by the way, that last rumor sounds sensible to me because they must be making them, but we haven't seen any leaks of the body. We've only seen renders, people's imaginary looks of the body based on information they've heard, like it has an OLED screen instead of function keys, things like that. Golly, I would like to buy a new MacBook Pro right now. But I don't know if I'll be able to. It might be next year. So those are the things we'll be waiting for. What are you putting on your bingo card? Do you think Johnny Ive will come on? He's been missing of late.
No, I don't. That's not on my bingo card.
I think Johnny Ive is on vacation permanently.
Permanently?
I feel like we have heard so little from him.
Yeah.
So that could be a bingo card. No Johnny Ive, or it's the thinnest iPhone we've ever made. Mm-hmm. Or White Room Johnny Ive, one or the other, right?
I'm guessing it's going to be the same shape. Okay. I'm going to throw some wild cards out there, like different colors like blue and green and purple.
That's what some have said, yeah. Mm-hmm. They've done that recently. They've done that every year. They've announced a new color. So now currently we have titanium, which is gray. We have rose gold, which is pink. And do we have white and black?
Mm-hmm. Space gray.
Space gray.
Space.
I'm sorry, not titanium. Space gray.
Space, yeah.
And, yeah, I think blue would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know what we do know?
What do we know?
You got to update your iPhone. Update it to 9.3.5 right now.
Very important.
Very important. Or, you know, a lot of people are saying just update to iOS 10, to the beta. Just go ahead and do it. Because that is also safer. So there was a possible security problem.
Definite security problem. Massive security problem.
An evasive digital arms dealer is taking advantage of the exploit. So it's definitely an exploit.
No, it's real. There are three of them. They allow a bad guy to send you a link. If you click the link, you will get malware installed on your iPhone without your permission. That will allow the bad guy to take over your phone and everything on your phone, including the camera, the microphone, the GPS. It is as bad as it gets. It was discovered it was discovered by an Israeli security firm. And unfortunately, instead of revealing this bug when they discovered it to Apple and letting Apple fix it, they sold it to the highest bidder, which turned out to be the United Arab Emirates. And the reason we know about this is because that, we think the UAE, used it to target a dissident in the UAE, a guy who's been arrested before, imprisoned in the UAE. His name is Ahmed Mansour, and he got two suspicious texts. He's been targeted before, so he immediately brought those texts, didn't click on the link. We should all learn from this. He did not click on the link, but instead sent the text link to a wonderful group in Toronto, Canada, the Citizens. What is it called? Citizens? I can't remember the name. They're a really smart security group that does kind of public good security researching and a lookout.
Citizens Lab and Lookout.
Citizens Lab. And Citizens Lab did say, well, this is an exploit. This is a bad exploit. They sent it on to Apple. Apple took 10 days to fix it. The texts went to Ahmed Mansour in August 10th. By August 20th, Apple had a fix, and they pushed it out this week to 9.3.5 and presumably to the iOS 10 beta updates. And it's really important that you do that because, as you say, it's already in the wild. This is a zero-day exploit that's already in the wild. It was almost immediately released to the wild. And what's unfortunate is that this Israeli company decided to do the wrong thing, decided to make money instead of telling Apple so Apple could fix it. But I think more and more this is the case, that there's so much money to be made. That's why Apple started that bug bounty program we talked about 2 weeks
ago. But it's not as much money as you get by selling it on
the open market. It's not even close. Not even close. We know the FBI paid $1 million for the exploit to break into one of the iPhones. So, we think it's $1 million because James Comey, the director of the FBI, said it was more than his yearly salary. So we think it's $1 million. Anyway, thank you to Citizens United for doing the right thing and revealing this. They're a good group.
Mm-hmm. So other bad news this week for Apple. iFixit says there's a potential design flaw in the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. So they got this information from Jessa Jones, who's a micro soldering
specialist. She's an iFixit specialist. Actually, the story is by iFixit. Jessa Jones was somebody iFixit interviewed.
She's a micro soldering specialist. So she's been seeing all of these people come in with the same problem, a gray flickering bar at the top and an unresponsive touchscreen.
We mentioned this on Twit yesterday, and I got a number of tweets from people saying, yes, I've had that happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see the video on, there it is, if you're watching the video. So that's what the flickering screen looks like. You bring them into Apple, they're like, oh, this is just a lemon, you know, one in a million, and then they give you a new iPhone.
Well, one of the people who tweeted me said, you know what, I brought it to Apple, and they knew all about it, and they said, yeah, here's a new phone. The problem is it's happening to iPhones that are 2 years old. So in many cases, it will be, unless you bought extended Apple Care, they'll be out of warranty, and you may be, I think Apple needs to fix this, but we don't know how widespread it is, but you may be on the hook for the repairs. It's a logic board replacement the way Apple does it. And that's why these third-party companies like Jessa Jones are getting involved, because they can fix it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is one particular chip on the logic board. Remember, this was the iPhone 6 was the Bendgate phone, the phone that bent. The thinking is that the flexion that happens, you know, from carrying the phone in your pocket. Not that you're seeing a bent phone, but it's torquing the motherboard a little bit, and it's causing the ball solder joints under this chip to crack and the connection to become poor. This chip is used, one of two chips used for digitizing. So it makes the digitizer flaky and unreliable, and apparently the gray bar is somehow related to that. And so what these micro soldering experts, or if you're in the UK, micro soldering experts do... can never get used to that pronunciation.
They really pronounce it like that?
Soldering. Soldering, yeah. Oh. I know. Doesn't it sound... It sounds weird.
It sounds weird, but that's like how it's
They think we sound weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving out the L.
Mm-hmm.
What the micro-soldering experts say is that by re-soldering the chip, replacing the ball joint, you can fix this. Hmm. You don't even have to replace the chip. And that's a very fairly inexpensive fix, except for the expertise required to do micro soldering, which sounds very difficult. So you can go to a third-party replacement company if they know how to do this and get it fixed, or you can go to Apple and spend some money. She works for a company called iPad Rehab.
Mm-hmm. And as Scooter X pointed out in the chat room, there's been a complaint filed in a federal court in San Jose. Apple's being sued for this
we'll see.
Yeah.
The real question is this a defect? And Apple's pretty good if they determine this is a widespread defect and not based on the fact that some people are sitting on their phone, which would not really be a defect in the phone, but a user error. If they decide it's their fault, I think they're pretty good about replacing that stuff. But they are slow to move. In fact, in that article from iFixit, they showed how one third-party repair store that put an announcement in the Apple support forums got censored because he said, you could fix this, here's how, and they cut that whole thing out. Because Apple does not want you to go to a third-party repair place.
Well, Mark Gurman from Bloomberg says Apple is considering making a Snapchat clone. So
I am too.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I might not do it.
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody
Instagram.
Is.
Instagram.
I was thinking last night. I should do a Snapchat clone.
No, you shouldn't. No one should. They want to make more simple editing tools. And that was frustrating when I was reading that, because iMovie is
simple.
Where you go from Snapchat. Like, right. You know, get a little more complicated than Snapchat.
It's still pretty easy.
Yeah, very easy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's the same thing you were talking about before. Apple's working on everything. This might stick.
It's
it might not stick.
It's completely meaningless. It's just as meaningful to say Leo's thinking of doing a Snapchat clone. It's completely... Which is true. I am thinking about it. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Have you hired a bunch of people? Have you hired the people behind the app Know Me, a video editing app?
No, because Apple got to them first. I was going to hire them.
Okay. Well, I checked out Know Me. It's interesting. It's just a, you can talk over your photos. So.
Frankly, when Apple hires somebody, it is no evidence that they're going to do the same thing that person did last time. They look at people and they go, you're a good engineer. Wow, that was a great solution. Very elegant. Nice coding. Would you like to work for us on our projects? So it's foolish to assume that just as when you see a patent from Apple, people always say, oh, Apple must be getting into this. No, it's just the daily course of business for Apple. I don't think you can assume because Apple hires somebody that they're going to do the same thing that person did last time. He might just be a brilliant programmer.
Just somebody they wanted to hire.
And they wanted him.
Good point.
Apple, I am thinking of doing a stop check loan if you want to hire me.
Speed it up. I'm thinking of making a car.
Yeah, see?
Out of cardboard.
See? Well, no, don't say that. Just stop. I'm thinking of making a car. You don't need to say how. You see? It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, the Louisiana floods, the floods in Louisiana are the worst disaster since Hurricane Sandy. So, well, you know, Hurricane Katrina was almost this exact time, but the floods don't have a name. So I think people were not really, they weren't on people's radar. Like you have to give,
That's terrible.
Have a name. I know.
You know who's done a good job of promoting it? Lolo Jones, U.S. Olympic athlete. Who's great. I follow her. She's funny. But she's been very active in relief in Louisiana and has been posting on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook videos. Unbelievable devastation. Because once the floodwaters receive, these homes, they have to gut them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going down a suburban, beautiful suburban street, and there are just the contents of the home on the front lawn, I presume for a truck to drive by. But the thing that really broke my heart, there are refrigerators that are duct taped shut and it says, do not open, dead inside. And I thought, what is that? Does that mean the food rotted? It's going to be, but no. Unfortunately, many people weren't able to rescue their pets from the very rapidly rising flood water. And you can't bury your poor dog or cat. So they're putting them in their refrigerators, which have to be thrown away anyway, sealing them up. It broke my heart. It's just devastating. So if you want to know more about it, Lolo Jones, and her foundation is raising money. Of course, so is the American Red Cross.
Right. And you can donate to the Red Cross straight from iTunes. There's a link. I think we'll put it in the show
too. Yeah,
great. It's like buy.apple, iTunes. You can just choose, and then 100% of that money is going to go to the Red Cross. And so,
I always do that when there's a disaster. I immediately take advantage of that. It makes it very easy to donate. And you know, Apple's taking care of it. It's going to go to a good cause, and 100% of it's going to go to the Red Cross. Just please, everybody should just, if everybody gave $5, $1, it would make such a difference. It's just devastating.
Well, let's talk about Framebridge.
You know, I should have brought some framed articles out here.
I
have a bunch of them.
I have a giant Framebridge frame on my wall at home that I framed, and I just ordered some more. I loved it so much.
I know. This is just like really cool. If you've ever tried to frame a work of art, let's say, you know how Framebridge started? Young lady bought a poster on her travels, $40 poster. She brought it to the frame shop, and they said that'd be $300. To frame a $40 poster, it doesn't make any sense. I've had that same experience. Even if you go to the budget framing place, it's really expensive. And I like to frame stuff. I don't just want to put a poster on the wall. I'm not 12 now. I mean, I want to put it up nice stuff. Plus, by the way, I frame lots of other stuff besides artwork. I will frame, I have several framed circuit boards. I have a new circuit board somebody brought by that's really got a great story behind it. And a framed circuit board, if it's matted right, really, really looks cool. There are all sorts of things you could frame if you could get framing affordably. And that's what Framebridge does. They are amazing. We take so many pictures now, and so often they just stay on the phone, they stay on your hard drive. Print some, put them on your wall in a beautiful frame. It is the best thing you can do to decorate your house. We've been doing so much of it. I love Framebridge. You can safely ship your art to the studio in their prepaid packaging. You can even upload, if let's say you want to print an Instagram picture, that's a great choice. You can upload that picture to the Framebridge site or use their Framebridge app. And you can do it directly from Instagram. Then you select a frame from their collection, or they've got great designers. Let them help you. You can even preview it in the app in any frame style, including classical, eclectic. They have canvas frames, really, just really nice stuff. Once they get your art, they'll precisely measure, cut, and build your custom frame with the best materials. I mean, really nice. Premium wood moldings, acid-free mat. That's really important, the acid-free mat and foam board. If you take, Annabella's beautiful, you know, artwork, and you put it on a mat with, cheap mat, it will eat up the paper, it'll turn it brown, and it'll be gone in 20 years. You want it to last forever. They also use shatterproof acrylic glazing, which is nice because not only is it low glare, it protects your work of art from harmful UV rays. And then they sent it to you, and wasn't it nicely packaged? Mm-hmm. It was perfect.
It came with all of the stuff to mount it as well.
And it has all the stuff on the back to mount it. I really love this. Do check the delivery timeline. You'll know how quickly your art will arrive. So if you're doing it for a gift, by the way, what a great gift for grandma. You know, or other family members send a picture. Oh, FrameBridge pricing couldn't be better. It's very straightforward. It starts with $39 for frame for your Instagram. $39. Big full-size movie poster, just $139. Look at that. Concert tickets. That's a fun one to do, by the way. And they'll help you do that. If you go to a show and you get the concert tickets, maybe get a memorabilia, maybe a guitar pick, and get that all framed up nice. It is such a great memento. Don't spend hundreds of dollars at a framing store. Even the discount framing stores are way overpriced. Let FrameBridge and their team of experts take care of you. Diplomas, maps. Ooh, you know what I'm going to frame next? Somebody sent me. It's this coolest. It's giant, though. And I was going to frame it before. I thought I can't afford this. But now with FrameBridge, I can. It's huge. It's a map of all the undersea cables, but it's done in the old style, you know, like one of the old-fashioned maps, you know. It's so cool. I'm going to frame that. I just thought of that. Whether you're looking for eclectic frames for the photos on your phone or you need help planning a gallery wall, FrameBridge has you covered. And, of course, we've got you covered, as always. We're going to give you a great deal. Start framing the things you love today at FrameBridge.com. Use the promo code IOS. IOS. And you get 15% off your first order. Oh, that's nice. FRAME, frame, bridge, like a bridge over troubled water. There, you framed us. See, this would be cool. Kind of an eclectic thing, mm-hmm. A modern art. FrameBridge.com, use IOS for 15% off your first order. And we thank FrameBridge for their support and for their great frames. We're using them a lot now, you know. I mean, a lot. In fact, I just got the... you remember somebody sent me a great drawing of Ozzy?
Yes.
I just got that framed. I forgot to bring it in today, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, I am a fan. All right, so let's move on to some questions. Last week, we were talking about a way to map where you'd been.
Yeah.
All the places that you'd been.
And where have you been?
A lot of suggestions of apps.
So when your wife, you get home... late in the night, mm-hmm. 2 a.m, your wife says, where you been?
No.
No, not for that?
When you want to record all the states you visited.
That's oh, that kind of where you've yes. been. Okay.
That's different. Right. So Nathan Lott wrote in to say that you can do that in Apple Photos on iOS and the map by tapping the location. So he showed us on Twitter, but I can show you also on our on my iPad. You just... press and it will say the location. So here I was in San Ramon, California for soccer. Here I was on McDowell Boulevard for work. So it shows you all the places you
nice.
Were. So you can press that and then it would, I guess I should press this. That's what I press. And then it shows all the places that I've been. So thank you for that. And also, Mike Vitalakis on Twitter sent us this image.
He sounds like he should be a character in, I don't know, CSI Las Vegas.
Mike Vitalakis.
Mike Vitalakis.
Vitalakis.
There he is.
There he is.
He looks like a character.
He was using Snapchat and swapped faces with you.
That's
and
my so face?
That's your face, yeah.
Don't you know how racist that is to do Leo face? You know what he swapped it with? My cartoon
Your
face.
Your cartoon face.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think if anyone from Snapchat is watching this right now, I think Leo's cartoon
Leo
face
filter.
Would be a great filter.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And good luck with the career in Vegas. I don't know. I don't know. I'm making that up.
So also last week we talked about back to school, and I said, you know, if there are any teachers watching, tell us what you use.
We got some responses.
Yes.
There, yeah.
And Mark, he's in Dalum in the chat room. He lives in China and says, as Google is blocked in China, the foreign teachers here use Schoology. It has an iOS app, and it's a good alternative for grading, contacting students, giving tests, and collecting homework.
Nice.
So Schoology. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I had a good conversation on Twitter about Google Classroom, because I get frustrated because we use Google Apps on iPads for my kids in Petaluma School District, which the Google Apps on iPads are not that great. I would prefer Chromebooks, but you know, there's things about Google Classroom, like you said last week, about, you know, collecting personal information of kids and maybe sharing that in a way. But we forget about all the advantages that we didn't have. Just like being able to collaborate on work at home is fantastic. And we couldn't do that before. And that,
oh, they live in an amazing world.
They do.
The problem, of course, is there's all these great tools out there, but schools and teachers need to be trained in how to use mm-hmm. them. And I know they want to, but it's a lot. It's hard enough just doing their job. But to learn all new technologies and techniques is a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and Google Classroom is pretty easy. I mean, that's Google's thing, like, yeah, to make things easy for everyone. And
cheap for, yeah, the school, which is very important.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
No school has enough money, ever.
That's true. And especially, they couldn't charge them. I just had to up my charging game. I had to get a big Anker, you know, another port, like it's like 10 port chargers, because we have to charge 3 more iPads at home now.
I know. I started getting many multi-port chargers because, yeah, isn't it interesting how the number of things we're charging is increasing exponentially?
Right. And with the schools, they couldn't charge those. I mean, they would literally run out of money, I think, if everybody charged those iPads. Everybody has to bring them home to charge them overnight.
They do sell, and even showed iPad carts where you can put 100 iPads and charge them. But it's not the cart expense. It's the electricity. Mm-hmm. And the school, in fact, says, please charge us at home. We can't afford the electricity.
They can't. All right. John from St. Louis writes, next August, which I think he means next month.
Oh, this is a big one. No, a year from
now. Yeah, next August. Much of the United States will be able to view a total solar eclipse.
Oh, this is so exciting.
First total in many years.
Yep.
Can you use your cell phone back-facing selfie camera to view the eclipses? He has several questions.
Oh, to view it. Okay.
And then, does the camera have protection to prevent burning?
Yeah, do not do that.
And more generally, when a cell phone is placed on a table with either the front or rear-facing camera pointed toward the sky in a full sunny day, is there a risk of damaging the camera?
That's a really good question. I thought he was going to...
Oh, I asked you if you could take a picture.
If you could take a picture, but he wants to do something different. You know, you're not supposed to look at an eclipse. Even though it appears to be darker, it is still plenty bright enough to burn your retina and make a permanent dead spot on your retina. So you really must not. Children are very tempted, but it's not as bright. See, it's dark. And you want to see it because it's slowly disappearing. The only time it's safe to look at an eclipse is once the eclipse has reached totality. Then you can look at the corona. But the problem is that's just a brief period of time, and then it immediately gets very bright. So just don't. You can get welder's glass. There's all sorts of ways to do this. You can we used to say take exposed film and bend it, fold it over a couple of times and look through that. But who has exposed film? Mm-hmm. And nobody. So there are, and there will be next year, plenty of places you can go, stores and so forth, where you can get appropriate filters for looking at eclipses. I remember when we were a kid, one of the things we did is a pinhole camera. So you take a shoebox and you poke as tiny a hole as you can in one end, and you point over your shoulder at the eclipse, and you can watch it on the other end of the shoebox. But that's not satisfying because it actually doesn't feel like you're seeing the eclipse. It is certainly the case that people take pictures of the sun with their camera phones, right? And I think you're right. I think there is protection against the lens in the camera phone. But it's never a good idea to aim a phone intentionally at the sun. And even if it's an eclipse happening, I wouldn't. And these things take, you know, to from beginning to totality might be 10, 15, 20 minutes. I can't remember the exact length. You know, we took a cruise to Cairns, or Cairns, as the Australians say it, a few years ago to see the total eclipse there. And yeah, you should be very careful about taking pictures of it. I had a filter for my camera to protect the lens. Having said that, I'm pretty sure iPhones have some sort of protection because, after all, accidentally, people all the time take a picture of a sunset, and you're going to get that. I'd be very careful, though. A 10-second exposure to an eclipse, that's not the way to view an eclipse. There are much better ways. Don't risk your iPhone. You'll be able to, by then, everywhere in the path of totality, which goes right across kind of the diagonally like a Miss America sash over the United States, everywhere in that area, there'll be plenty of places you can go, hardware stores and so forth, that will have appropriate smoked glass or filters of some kind so that you can look at it. That's exciting. We're really excited about that.
What if that's the new iPhone, like one that
eclipse
you can
phone?
Look at an eclipse? It'll be like when we were kids, the pinhole cameras. That's what.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't know the actual answer of what kind of protection the iPhone has in it, but it's never, whatever protection, never a good idea to do it for a long period of time. You really do run the risk of burning the sensor.
But you're not even supposed to take a picture of the sun, you say, taking a picture with your iPhone of the regular sun.
I wouldn't. When I did it with my camera, with my DSLR, I got a filter for it. I had a specially made filter for taking an eclipse.
Do you have that picture?
I thought I did. I have a picture of an eclipse. Let me see here. But I think this is, I think that's a lunar eclipse. I don't know. Oh. And it's from 2002. And this was a webcam. And I don't know if you remember, because you just posted a webcam picture of yourself.
Yes.
On this same webcam. But I used to have, this is a long time ago, we were at Tech TV, and I had a webcam that would shoot me while I was writing our almanac, and it had a little clock, and it had a little weather forecast, and there's some sort of eclipse going on. I could find, if I go through it, I'll find my pictures. Somewhere I have the eclipse pictures from that cruise. It was a lot of fun. It was, people were angry, though, because it was a somewhat cloudy day, and we're watching the eclipse, and then the captain decides to move.
Oh.
And everybody was very upset about it. People had paid a lot of money to go on this cruise, so they'd be exactly where the totality was. We all had our cameras. And then the captain, he stopped, but I think he thought he could outrun a cloud. And it didn't work out so well. People were upset.
Well, yeah, that's my guess for the iPhone is there's going to be one for the eclipse. Maybe not this year, but
the total eclipse of the iPhone?
Yeah. Well, you saw the invitation. It has all those little holes of color.
Let's see. Do we have the invitation? I haven't seen it. What do you mean you've seen the invitation? I haven't seen the invitation. I haven't seen an invitation since 2010.
Invitation? Well, I just saw it on websites or on other people like Serenity's Twitter. There it is.
Oh, that's just bokeh. That's probably the new camera. You know, that's what see lights out of focus or something like that.
I'm still going with Eclipse Cam. That's going to be the feature.
Here's the path. Actually, 20. It's exactly, almost exactly a year from now. The total solar eclipse of 2017, August 21st. The best duration will be near St. Louis. St. Louis is right on the edge of totality. But if you just head a little bit southwest towards Kentucky, you'll be right there. The greatest duration, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And the greatest eclipse is a little bit farther east and southeast of that. But look at that. That's really rare that we get a totality all the way through the United States. That's really cool. Up to Portland, down to South Carolina. Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Maine. Mm.
Kevin Adler from Virginia writes about a recommendation of the Stayed Attaché from Waterfields.
You recommended that. That came from Georgia Dow. Who was it? Serenity Caldwell.
Yes. Yeah. So he says, I wanted to let you know about a more affordable bag that you could give kids to use. It is the Bag of Holding from ThinkGeek. I'm well past my school days, like Leo. Doesn't mean we still don't need good bags to use for older things.
Yes.
Other things. Many of the kids' friends are fascinated by my bag and always ask about it. I carry mine to work every day with all kinds of stuff in it. It's $49.99, but goes on sale occasionally for 30 to 50%.
I like the name, the Bag of Holding. What's that from, John?
That is from...
Or
Dungeons and Dragons, I believe.
Oh, is it? Oh.
I believe.
That makes sense. It's a D&D bag. $50 is a good price. Holds laptops up to 70 inches, tablets, books, dice, scrolls, potions. Everybody needs a bag of holding.
Don't we all?
Wow.
Bag of holding. So thank you. I love ThinkGeek. Always loved ThinkGeek.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun.
Jorge asks which iPhone stand I'm using, and that is here. I was using it for my iPad, but this is the Elago. It's the Simple Sophistication Elago M stand. It's only like $24. I know it's less than $30.
John, it's nice, though. It's aluminum. M2. Yeah.
Yes, and it holds iPads, too. Not as safely as I would like, but, you know, desperate calls, desperate measures. So, yeah, the Elago stand. And I think it's time to thank Quicken.
Oh, Quicken Loans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do thank them because they understand us.
They do.
As digital natives go. If you were watching this show, you're probably pretty sophisticated technology-wise. And I'm thinking you probably don't want to take a trip back to the last century when you go get a home loan, a mortgage, or a refi. You would like to do it all online, right? Well, of course you would. You don't want to gather a box of documents together and bring it into the mortgage broker. He's wearing one of those green eye shades and sleeve garters and holding a quill pen, says, "Well, show me your papers and perhaps we'll give you a loan." Actually, that's not so far-fetched. The last time I got a home loan, which was only a few years ago, the mortgage broker actually had a sheaf of papers with the rates on it, printed in the tiniest print, and he had to lick his fingers and go and find the rate. It is 18th century technology, but not anymore. Quicken Loans, one of the best loan brokers in the world, now has Rocket Mortgage, and they are bringing the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, it's powerful, just like a rocket. It's completely online, completely unlike a rocket. Rocket Mortgage has taken all those complicated, time-consuming bits out of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. No more stacks of files or paperwork. No more Bob Cratchit with his quill pen. With Rocket Mortgage, you can share your bank statements, your pay stubs with a push of a button, helping you get approved in minutes. And because computers, you're going to get a custom mortgage solution tailored precisely to your unique financial situation. And you don't even have to get up from the couch because you can do this on your iPhone or your Android phone for that matter or your tablet. With Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. If you're looking to refi, if you're looking to buy a house, Rocket Mortgage, that's quickenloans.com/iOS today. That's the website. quickenloans.com/iOS today. They're an equal housing lender, of course. Licensed in every one of the 50 states. They're NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Go to quickenloans.com/iOS today. I'm going to put on my Charlie Daniels hat for this one.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put on my Crocodile Dundee hat. I think that's what this one is.
What would you say? I don't know what that is.
I think this is your regular hat you wear every day.
It's like my regular hat.
No, it's not your regular hat. This is my regular hat. You've seen me around town wearing this hat. Riding your Segway with that hat.
I have a whole story behind this hat. I'll tell you later.
Okay, good. I can't wait. Well, now we got to do our app caps. App caps. Favorite apps of the week. We wear caps.
I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Did you come up with that?
No, I didn't.
I think we blame Sarah Lane for that one. Long gone, but the app cap lives on.
Is this Andy Anatko's hat?
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
Well, he left it here?
No, it's my hat. All of these are mine.
Okay.
You know, we're actually, right now, all my hats are in garbage bags.
With the garbage?
No.
Did this
but
come
we
out
just
of the garbage?
We moved them, but we haven't yet figured out a way to mount them.
Got it.
I'm looking for any solutions you might have. I have more than 100 hats now.
How about a dart gun? You just shoot them at it.
Somebody suggested, I love this idea, that I get a pegboard and put clips in there and then draw the outline of the hat on the pegboard so you know where every hat, because every hat has a place on the pegboard. Of course, the problem with that is all the hats' outlines will be round.
Yeah, that is a problem. Not all of them.
Except for
like
the inflatable
leak
hat. Yeah.
Yeah, this one doesn't fit me. Exactly.
Doesn't, you know, it's funny. I'm not surprised it doesn't even fit me. It's that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you want to trade?
No.
Okay, because I don't
like
think this
would be one. Either. I like to be, it's like I'm in a film noir.
Indiana Jones. Oh, I see. You're the lady in black.
Yes. All right, so this is my favorite app of the week. It's called Inks. It's by State of Play Games. They were the same people who brought us Lumino City, which was an app that I really liked before. So I think it has music, which I began to play a little bit earlier. It's 99 cents and includes in-app purchases, but I play without them. So you ready? It's like, it's pinball, but with art. So let's start with the easy one, Dawn. And, you know, it's as you would play pinball, try to remove my hat and also speak in the microphone at the same time. This is very complicated. It's like Twister. Ooh, nice.
Oh, so, it is pinball.
Yeah, but I gotta, I gotta get it up to the art area so you can see the art.
Oh, it makes art?
If it, why does it keep, let's try another one. There we go.
There you go.
See the art?
Not really.
Let's try this one again.
Okay, let's do an easy one. I don't mind doing the easy one. You know, okay. I always pick the easy one.
Yep, always pick the easy one.
This looks kind of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's splatted. It's like paintball. Oh, man.
Paintball, yes. Like I said, Pinball Wizard meets Picasso.
It's got pinball. It's paintball.
It's Jackson Pollock ball.
Jackson Pollock. Oh, but you've shot your wad. It's not squirching anymore.
I know. This is the beginning one.
Oh,
and it can
nice.
Get really complicated.
Nice. What the
so,
what?
So I want to go back here. Let's What's try the more complicated ones. Let's try plush.
Plush.
See? Whoa. And it involves physics,
ooh, that's
of course,
fun.
But, you know.
I like the spooch sound.
I'm always afraid when I play pinball on my iPad that I'm going to break my iPad.
Right. You're going to get so excited you'll twist
crack
it.
The screen. Is that ever? If anyone has ever broken their iPad by playing pinball with it, please let me know. Megan@twit.tv. So, the in-app purchases are if you want power-ups, but I don't want power-ups.
Can you earn power-ups?
Nope. You got to pay for them.
Gotta
but you don't need them, I don't think.
No.
Inks. Oh.
It's kind of, for those who are listening, kind of minimalist pinball. It almost looks like a piece of paper with some crayons on it. It doesn't have all the neon and the fol-de-rol of a regular pinball game. But what's fun is when the pinball hits the wall, that's when the fun begins. Oh, that's that splat sound. Paint is splatting out. And you draw a line every time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I really understand when it's going to splat and when it's going to draw a line, but there's probably a rhyme, some sort of rhyme or reason.
There is. So, yeah, Inks. Get it. Or just watch me play it forever and ever.
So, Bob Heil, who makes our microphones and is the host of Ham Nation,
mm-hmm.
Love Bob. Hi, Bob. Is friends with a guy named Charlie Daniels. Remember Charlie Daniels' band?
I do remember.
They
the
went
Charlie
down to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Daniels is famous for, well, besides fiddle playing and great music, his really big cowboy hats. So Bob set up a meet and greet. He said, Charlie wants to meet you. So I went out. I got the biggest cowboy hat I could get because I wanted to beat Charlie Daniels at his game.
That was the biggest cowboy hat you could get?
This is the biggest cowboy hat I can get. This is a giant cowboy hat. It is huge. And you know what? It still was smaller than Charlie Daniels.
Was it 10 gallons?
Oh, this is like 20 gallons. It's like 24 gallons. This is huge. Wow. Makes your head look bigger, too. That's kind of cool. That's disorienting. So let me show you my app cap, which came to me
Charlie Daniels.
In a difficult process. Well, I was going to show you this app that just came out designed by an architect called Pattern. It lets you do architectural design. And, you know, you just kind of hand sketch a square or works with a pencil, and it automatically squares it up. And you see every time I launch it, crash, bang, aww, boom. I'm using iOS 10, the beta. I bet you it's incompatible with that. So, but But then I noticed that Mind Node is free. Now, we've shown Mind Node before. Normally, it's $10. So the fact that it's free is great. We've mentioned this. We mentioned it just a couple of weeks ago, the idea of mind mapping software. Somebody who listens to the show wrote to us about it. Mm-hmm. Mind Node may be one of the best known. It's certainly one of the oldest, kind of the original mind mapping program. And because it's free, this is a great time to see if mind mapping makes sense for you. The idea is you can dump all the ideas in your brain, interconnect them, almost make a flow chart of your ideas. All the ideas are connected by nodes. I can make a new node. What do we want to plan? Maybe purchase of a larger hat.
Mm-hmm. Hats, okay. Just hats.
Measure head. That would be a good place to start. So I've made the measure head. And then, after measure head, you might be search for store. But then there could be other nodes. This is one particular line of thought. I can't type today. Search for store. But you might have other lines of thought. You can also, it's like an outliner, right? Because it allows you to organize this stuff. But you can do, more and more elaborate things and it's more visual. So the idea really is a visual mapping of your brain. Great for putting together a speech, a story, kind of outlining what you want to do. For some people, mind maps are not a great solution, but for anybody who's a visual thinker, I'm not, by the way, a visual thinker, so I don't actually use mind maps. I'm not crazy about them because I don't find it helps me to kind of visualize this stuff. But I know a lot of people who swear by them. And this is one of the granddaddies of mind mapping apps. You have a lot of choices. It will save your document to iCloud, by the way, which is great because there's Mind Node for Macintosh and Windows as well, I believe. You could choose, the color of your lines and so forth. You can also change how this works. And in fact, this is the same map, as you can see, but in a kind of more linear fashion, the traditional outline fashion. And that's one of the things people who use mind maps really like is, you could write an outline, but sometimes an outline isn't so visual. It doesn't show the interconnection of ideas and the interplay of ideas as well. But it's also the most efficient way, perhaps, to store it or turn it into a speech. So start with mind mapping, and then you can turn it into an outline, and then you can export it and write a story, write an article, or write a speech. So this is, I think, a very, very cool program. It is called Mind Node, and the fact that it's free this week, it's one of those free apps, Apple makes free apps available every week, is really good because I think a lot of times people just don't know how mind mapping is going to work for them and don't want to spend $10 on something they may never use. I already own Mind Node, but it's well worth the download if you don't right now. It's called Mind Node. It's the king of the hill, as far as I'm concerned, mind mapping software, and is now out, just available for free this week on the App Store.
What's the difference between a mind map and a vision board?
Well, I think the idea of a mind map is that everything's connected. You have nodes. You have it's a tree, right? And a vision board, as I've seen it, is they're less related. You could just put stuff up, and you can actually work with a mind map that way. Just put ideas up and then connect them later. But a vision board, I think, is less about connections and more about just getting ideas up in a visual place so that you can see them and be nudged by them. Hmm. Mind map is more for brainstorming, I think, is probably the best use for that. It's brainstorming. Hmm. And there we have it.
There we have it. We have done it again.
Oh, I have one more thing to remind people about.
Oh.
In fact, Brian, if you'd pull up our Teespring store, because, this is our second iOS today in the new studio. We just moved a week and a day ago, and we thought we'd celebrate. We have a new logo, thanks to Anthony Nielsen for designing our East Side Studio logo, and we've got a new T-shirt and more with the new logo. Now, the way we do this is we only make it available for 30 days. We have t-shirts for men and women, but we also have hoodies. Look at that. People be nice ask hoodie. Us, isn't that nice? On the back it says, is that the back or the front? That's the front. Twit.tv, and on the back it says East Side Studio with a new East Side Studio logo. These are really nice, and they're all available. Basically, it costs. We don't make a lot of money. Ooh, I didn't know we had a blue one. That's
a
nice.
Good price for a hoodie, $32.
Yeah, basically, that's their cost. We maybe add $5 or something like that to kind of defray our costs. We're not here to make a lot of money on this, just to give you some nice Twit merchandise. But 30 days only, available only till September 26th at teespring.com/twit. teespring.com/twit. And I should say, if you wear your Twit t-shirt to one of our tapings here in the studio, I will French kiss you. So that could be a selling point, but more likely that's a reason not to wear it to the studio. I will hug you.
If you wear it, I will keep him from kissing you. That's
I will
my
hug you. I will
you.
Caress you. I will give you a high five. Okay, no tongue. I won't do that. I won't go that far. No, I will be very happy, though. You know, it's nice when people come to visit us. They very often wear their Twit t-shirts, and it's fun to see the different generations. Because of late, you know, for the last few years, we've only made each t-shirt one time only. There have always been 30 days only exclusives. And so I can see, you know, when I see the t-shirts, oh, you got it. The one we did when we opened the Brick House. We did a really nice one. We're doing the same thing this time for the new East Side Studio. And we always do it through Teespring. They do a great job. teespring.com/twit.
That's all we got. iOS Today. We'll see you next week. Oh, no, we won't see you next week because next week is a holiday.
Is it?
Yes.
So is it Labor Day?
I believe it is Labor Day, Monday.
So no show. Yeah, we take a few holidays off, and that's one of them.
So this is the last time we could talk about rumors. Thank goodness, because I don't want to talk about rumors anymore.
No
I just
more.
Want a new phone.
Do tune in, though. That Wednesday, Megan and I will be here, and I'm not sure who's going in our, you know, our crew of Apple journalists. Will get whoever's not going to the event joining us for the live stream. That's 10 a.m. Pacific. 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC, Wednesday, September 7th. Join us, and we'll all watch the Apple stream together and give mm-hmm. you our commentary.
Right. So you won't see us on Monday, but you will see us on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you still get
we'll
us.
We'll be back.
We'll still be here
yeah.
on Wednesday.
And we'll be looking for a new iPad. I don't know if they're going to announce one. We'll certainly, I think, see a new iPhone, maybe even a new Apple Watch. So there'll be a lot of talk about. You know, last year when they did their event, they announced everything in the kind of a massive, everything's new event. So there's some good possibility the next Wednesday will be a very big mm-hmm. event.
We'll and I see. Need a new watch because I have two wrists, so I definitely need one.
Would you buy a new watch? I don't feel like I'd need a new watch.
My battery doesn't last.
Oh, well, then you do need one.
Yeah, I do need one. So we'll
you got
see.
The sport. Oh, and you got the 38 millimeter.
Small, yeah, I would
that's
get the bigger one.
That's not as big
sure.
a battery. Yeah, I have yeah. 42. And does it last the other day?
Yeah, and I think I've tried on the 42. I think
it's not that big?
No.
Yeah. I just don't feel a need for another Apple Watch. This one does, you know, well, we'll have to see what it'll do.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it for iOS Today. Thanks for joining us. Now stand back because this is a really large hat and I'm about to throw it at you. Bye-bye. You killed him.